And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Hi, I'm Roy Morgan. It's good to be with you. This program is called Health Essentials. Oh, yes, we want to talk about what's essential to health, and everybody wants to be a good student and learn. Let me give the phone number at the station. The phone number here, if you want to call in just a little bit, it's going to be 903-586-5257. If you have a question, a comment, if you're struggling with something, your body is not responding, well, it's really fun to try to find ways to help your body improve. And after all, it's the only one you're ever going to get. You have to make the best of it. I have this book, and sometimes I'll write down, I think I got this habit from my mother, that I wrote my name in the book, and I wrote 2/16/1996. So I purchased this book back in 1996, and the title of the book is called, and you have to understand, this is really before we had the internet as we understand it and know it today. Today, if I had a laptop computer in front of me, you could give me just about any topic, and I could specifically search out the angle that I'm looking at. And so, for example, you couldn't do that back in 1996. So this guy that wrote the book, Botanical Influences on Illness, his name is Dr. Melvin Werbach. The gentleman had to be the Dewey Decimal System of researchers, because what he would do is he would compile all the data and the articles, and of course a lot of people, they like to look these up. Other people, they just want to know the information. So here's one that I found right here that I find interesting. It comes from the International Journal of Dermatology, which that actually is an extremely prestigious journal. You're probably going to ask, well, what year was this published? Well, that was 1973, and here it is right here. There was an experimental study, which, I hate to break it to you, but everything that is done to you in medicine is experimental. They don't always know how it's going to work out. Okay, the topic is aloe vera. You know what the cactus is. You know if you have a bad burn, you would rub the aloe vera directly on it, and it would be very successful in healing the burn. Okay, aloe vera gel was used quite successfully in 3 patients with chronic leg ulcers. And when they say chronic leg ulcers, you're probably going to say, well, Dr. Morgan, what do you mean by chronic? Well, one patient had these horrific leg ulcers for 5 years. Another one for 7 years. The last one, they had these chronic leg ulcers for 15 years. I don't know about you, but that's horrific. Could you imagine how those people suffered? If you're in public and you see a person limping and they have this, sometimes it looks like the color of an ACE bandage, and they have covered the lower part of their leg. They're usually wearing shorts or a skirt or something like that, but they're limping along, and that leg that's covered with the ACE-like bandage or the dressing, it just looks horrifically large, like it's swollen. If you see rust deposits on their calf muscle, that's probably a pretty good indication they've got an ulcer cover and they're trying to keep it from getting dirty. Anyway, here's the punchline. Aloe vera. The gel was applied to the ulcers on gauze bandages. That's what they did. And again, International Journal of Dermatology, so this is what a medical doctor came up with as a plan for these people that had ulcers for 5, 7, and 15 years. Isn't that horrible? I just hate the idea that a person suffers needlessly when there's a remedy available. And sometimes remedies can be unconventional, like aloe vera. It says here in the study that a rapid reduction in ulcer size was noted in all 3 subjects, and complete resolution occurred in 2. Now, I didn't look the study up. It comes from 1973. So I really don't know what the time frame is. But would you say that if healing is taking place, if you're seeing the ulcers reduce in size, and there's a complete resolution in 2. I don't know what the third one was like. But, you know, there's some comorbidities here. There's some other things going on. Probably they have diabetes. It may be that their energy that they have in reserve to heal is just not there. So that's interesting how, and I was going to tell you one story. This happened so long ago. And what I'll do is I'll just try to make it simple in case the woman is listening. But there was a woman that I had talked to, and she had had a hip replacement surgery. And where the surgical incision was, it just wouldn't heal. It kept oozing and weeping and draining. It's almost as if something poisonous was in the surgical, you know, incision site or just under there, and it was trying to come out. Well, obviously, that's what's going on. That's what drainage is. Your body's trying to push something out that's toxic. And I remember there was a fillet knife, and she just cut the aloe vera leaf right down the middle. And when she folded it open, it just exposed the gelatinous gel from the aloe vera. And I think she used that, laying it directly on top of the area of drainage. And she told me that in morning time, it looked like the aloe vera leaf had turned like a purple color, which most likely that was drawing the old dirty debris out and the blood. But guess what? It completely healed after that. I was truly amazed. All the pain went away. It was just aloe vera. Okay, I know somebody's been trying to call. Forgive me, I didn't want to start the topic of aloe vera from this article and not finish it. So if you want to call, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I will take your phone call now. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning.
I listen to your program fairly regularly, and I listened last week about the failing kidneys. And so I got up and looked around and found the envelope that had all my past blood draws in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't say the NAA, it said estimated.
That's right.
GFR.
That's it?
Mine's 60.
Well, that means you're right on the edge of stage one renal failure.
One point away from being, yeah.
Or another way of saying this is, if your GFR is right at 60, that means they're only working at 60% efficiency and there's very significant damage that has taken place.
Yeah, I understand that. But what really aggravated me is I went back through two doctors, and it's been that way for years.
And they never brought it to your attention once?
No, not once, and that's because they go down the middle of the page there and looking for the H or the L, high or low.
I wonder if there's a different way we can look at this besides just looking for an H or an L.
Yeah, they could look and see that. Anyway,
I would much rather take steps to improve your health, because I don't know of any human being that can outlive their kidneys. Or another way of saying that is, if the kidneys become weak, that's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Are you taking high blood pressure medication?
I am. I take amlodipine and hydrochlorothiazide.
Those are historically very, very hard upon the kidneys, meaning they cause kidney damage.
Yeah.
And I think if you typed in, does amlodipine or a thiazide diuretic cause damage to the kidneys, I think you'll be, you may be somewhat surprised that no one's brought that to your attention before. Well, how can I help you?
Well, how do I get my kidneys straightened out?
How much sugar do you eat?
Well, since last Saturday, none.
You sound like one highly motivated man.
Well, I don't eat a lot of sugar, but every once in a while I turn my sweet tooth loose and have a little
bit. You just proved a very valuable point. there's a difference between believing that sugar is bad for the kidneys, and then there's a person that says, not only do I believe it's bad, but I'm actually going to stop eating it. And what I'm referring to is I'm referring to what's called white refined sugar.
Right.
And so what you want...
I do still use honey.
In what capacity?
I put fresh lemon juice and honey and green tea. Make green tea.
I bet you that tastes really, really good, doesn't it?
It does. It's good. I think it. And every once in a while, I let it get cool off. It's even good cold.
Have you thought about starting your own green tea, lemon juice, honey stand?
No.
You could probably charge like $3 a drink.
I'm way too busy for that.
I understand, but because you're
I'm
way
old,
too busy.
But I'm busy.
Well, but you want to keep your body in good working order because the kidneys, they're the gatekeeper to health. All right, let's start talking about simple things that you can do, all right?
All right.
There was a study that was done, I want to say, in the year 2014 by the Journal of Occupational Medicine, and they demonstrated that when somebody would walk barefoot, that it had a very positive effect on improving kidney function. Now, you have to understand, I don't understand every principle that I come across. Just like if you read any research about lemons and improving the kidneys, it probably doesn't exist, but we know that it works. But walking barefoot is one of the best techniques to stimulate the kidneys to heal. And it's free. Number two, every nephrologist or kidney expert, they know that one of the greatest techniques of all time to prevent further kidney damage and to help the kidneys is to take baking soda. I don't know how much baking soda costs, but I would guess it's probably the cheapest supplement of all time.
Already started that.
Excellent. And so one of the jobs of your kidneys is trying to maintain the pH of your blood, not too acidic, which is bad, and not too alkaline, which is also equally bad. You want it just slightly alkaline, like 7.35 to 7.45. Not exactly what? Neutral, but just slightly alkaline.
Does it show that on my...
No, it doesn't. Most likely it doesn't. I would be surprised if it did. Now, if they drew some blood to measure your blood pH, I'd like to know what that is, but I doubt they did that. And so there's got to be other markers, but those are two things, and I think if you understand that the kidneys, they play the most intimate role in trying to balance the pH of your blood. So what I'm saying is you've got to make it easy for your kidneys. And so I know I'm being ridiculous as I say this, but if you say, I'm just going to eat a bag of donuts today, and I'm going to drink Coca-Cola and Pepsi, well, that's all high acid food. Now, if you get your sugar from maybe a touch of honey, I don't know that I'm worried about that so much. And if you get it from eating things like, I personally think cherries are very, very good for the kidneys. I'm not a fan of a substance called stevia or stevia. The more that I study it, I think that could probably be quite damaging to a person's kidneys. I also believe that artificial sweeteners like Splenda and sucralose, aspartame, what's another one? The pink stuff, the yellow stuff, the blue stuff, whatever the packets are. If it's an artificially man-made sugar, that's just toxic to the human body. I can tell you right now, there's about 20 people listening that says, I do not believe that. I don't mean to be difficult, but I think it's hard on the body. And so what you're doing is you're trying to make it easy on your kidneys to heal. So walking barefoot, having a daily regimen that you go out and exercise, let's just say that you want to walk for an hour a day, that's fine. You've got to get more blood through the kidneys for them to do their job. And so a salad would be really good for the kidneys. Personally, I use protomorphogens. Protomorphogens they're cow parts. They come from calf kidneys. So There are protomorphogens as a supplement that I use just about every single day when I'm trying to get the kidneys back in good repair. And they work wonderfully. So there's one called Renotrophin PMG. And so it's an animal product. But they're taking these proteins from the nucleus of the cells of the cow kidneys, and when you swallow it, it makes it easy to target how does the body heal and repair the kidneys. Now, everything that I'm talking about, there's nobody else that's going to believe what I'm telling you. Nobody. They're all going to say the same thing. Let's get ready. Let's put a port in. Let's get you ready for dialysis right away.
Well, that ain't happening.
Well, not if you heal your kidneys. It's not happening. Of course, I like the resolve in your voice. And so some of these things I can sort of tell you about on the radio, but I can't fully tell you because it's not like you're in front of me where we can go over them with a fine-tooth comb. But in the meantime, everything I've told you is excellent. So do you think you could go for an hour walk every day?
No.
Okay.
I'm old, but I'm busy. But I do manage to get in. I'm aerobic of between 1 and 2.5 hours a week.
Like I said, 7 hours a week is about the minimum to restore the kidneys, an hour a day.
Well,
did you want me to agree with you, or did you want me to tell you the truth?
No, I wasn't going to lie to you.
Well, no, but that I'm telling you exactly the bare minimum. Bare minimum is an hour a day. Well, you don't have to do that, though. You can do what you want.
How about something besides walking?
Well, throw me a bone. What do you have in mind?
Oh, I've got a... what is it called here? It's an E. It's a cardio...
Well, describe it to me. What is it?
It's a cardio strider.
Are you really going to do that for an hour a day?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
It's here in my living room. It's a big, it works your feet and your legs and your arms at the same time. And it's got belts.
Have you ever done that for an hour a day consistently?
Yeah, well, not an hour every day, but I think when I first got it, I used it 3 or 4 times a week.
Okay, well, good. Let's do that then.
And I can do more walking. It's just, and I think the reason that I don't have more energy because my kidneys are failing.
Well, the kidneys have everything to do with regulating your blood pressure. So if you're still taking blood pressure medication, that's an indication that we haven't healed the kidneys. And that would be a very good focus. If you didn't do anything else, what can I do to help my kidneys, excuse me, significantly heal? So as a sign of healing, your blood pressure will come back down to normal. You won't need the blood pressure medication. Again, that's going to be one of those other unbelievable substances or results.
Well, tickle me pink.
Yeah. So this actually helps you with your busyness because you can actually do it more efficiently and better without damaging your kidneys any further. But I know that that's just one marker on your lab test. There's probably many other things. Have you thought about donating blood?
I used to donate blood, but it's been a while.
When a man builds up too much iron, it's hard on the kidneys. It'll wreck them.
Well, I have any idea what my iron is. I didn't have any idea my kidneys was failing either.
Well, that's why they call high blood pressure the silent killer, because it doesn't give off any symptoms at all. So the kidneys, I mean, you've had all these symptoms. It's just nobody connected the dots for you. Your blood pressure's high. That means your kidneys are not in good shape. That's what your doctor should have told you.
Yeah.
Then they should have said, number two, your GFR is at 60, which means you have very significant damage to your kidneys, and then you respond with, what do we do to repair them? And I've kind of given you a few clues.
Well, I see the doctor on Monday.
Perfect. Start writing down your questions.
Yeah.
What do we do to restore my kidney function back to 100%? How do I get off this blood pressure medication? What can I do to greatly improve my health or create the circumstances so my body can heal? And see what his plan is. He can give you a plan.
Well, I'm certainly going to run it by him.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose. I think it's a brilliant thing to ask him.
If I don't like the answers, there's a lot of old doctors out there.
Well, just ask him if he has any experience greatly helping a human being's kidneys improve. That's probably about as simple as I can make it.
Well, I'll write these questions down for him and take them with me Monday, because I don't know about anybody else, but as soon as I get in them doctor's office, I tend to forget about.
Well, make it just very simple. How about this? Can you help my kidneys? Excuse me. Can you help my kidneys heal? And can you get me off this blood pressure medication?
Yeah.
That's really what healing would look like, is the kidneys become so healthy and so strong, you don't need blood pressure medication.
Well, like I said, that would be great.
Well, then go donate blood.
I can do that.
Okay, good deal. You've got a good starting point.
All right. Well, I've already, like I said, since last Saturday, I've already made several changes.
You really have, and that's great. Way to go. Good job.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe to it. That's all good stuff. That's very positive.
Yeah, I don't know how long it takes for the kidneys to improve, but I'm hoping there'll be some sort of improvement with the blood that I'm going to insist they take tomorrow. But
they're going to do it on Sunday?
Monday.
Oh, Monday. Okay. Well, there. I tell you what, I like your style. Positive, hopeful, moving forward in the right direction. That's good.
Well, I try to keep it in mind that the Bible says for us to be a good steward with the things God has given us. And I think the body and the mind are the first two that he gives us. Soul might be in there somewhere, but I don't have any control over it.
I think it says the soul will return to its maker. We know who that is. I think in Corinthians it says the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And I think that's maybe just before. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That ought to give all of us pause to think about what we're really doing here. How do we take care of ourselves? I definitely have room for improvement.
Well, I think everybody does.
It does help, though. But so let's just... go ahead.
And spiritually.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a perfect human being on earth. It's not... I think just about everybody that I know, they all recognize that as long as we're walking the earth, there's a chance to learn and grow. I mean, we're told to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the book of Peter.
Yes, we are.
Nothing wrong with that. That's in everybody's best interest.
We're not gonna get rid of that sin nature as long as we're breathing air on this earth.
What do you mean by sin nature?
Our sin nature that we have.
What does that mean? I said, what do you mean, though?
We're natural-born sinners.
I know, but what does that mean? Give me an example.
It means that we have to strive after we come to Christ. We have to strive for the rest of our lives to keep from sinning.
Do you believe that we're born sinners?
Absolutely. David said that he was conceived in sin.
Do you think that means he was committing sins himself the moment he was coming through the birth canal?
No.
Well, then he wasn't conceived in sin.
Well, then the Bible's lying to me.
It's not lying at all. Children are 100% completely innocent. They're not sinners.
at a young age, you've seen them as well as I have. Kids sitting on the floor playing, and all of a sudden one of them will want another one's toy, and the other one don't want to give it up. So he picks something up and smacks them with something, you know?
Yeah, but that's not what the example that you're giving. You're saying I was conceived in sin, referring to that psalm. Obviously, David wasn't sinning when he was born or conceived, but yes, I agree with you. Later in life, as we grow up, we learn about sin.
He was conceived in sin.
How was he conceived in sin? That's not consistent with what Scripture says.
Yes, it is. All you got to do is just put the pieces together.
Do you remember the story of Jonah?
When Eve ate the fruit in the garden, then from then on, everyone had a sin nature, and he was born in sin because his parents were natural born sinners.
What do you mean? I don't know what you mean, born in sin. What does that mean? I just don't follow that logic.
Well, he said he was conceived in sin. And all that meaning is his parents, no matter how good they were, they had a sin nature, as do all of us.
Yes, the Bible is very clear when it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I get that.
Right.
I just don't understand what you mean by babies that are coming through the birth canal are sinners. That doesn't make sense.
Well, I didn't say that. I said I did not think that they were.
Well, no, you said you keep quoting the scripture where David says he was conceived in sin. I don't know how else to interpret that.
Well, I don't know how else to interpret that either.
But children are not born sinners. They're innocent.
Well, then, when do they change?
Well, it doesn't take them long. I did agree with you on that point. You have a couple of 5 or 6 year olds standing around, and they're arguing over a toy, and one smacks the other one. Yes, that would be a sin. I agree. But they're innocent, totally innocent when they're born. They haven't committed any sins. There's no willful sin there. The baby can't. They don't know their right hand from their left hand. In Deuteronomy, it speaks very specifically that children do not know right from wrong, good from evil. And then when Jonah was given the task to go preach to Nineveh, God said there's 120,000 that don't know their right hand from the left. It's talking about kids. They don't know their right hand from their left at that age when they're infants.
I agree, but I don't know about anybody else. I just know about me, because it tells us in the Bible that no one knows the heart of man other than the Father. And with that being said, I can think that I know Dr. Morgan a little bit, but when it comes right down to it, I have no idea what you're thinking, and you have no idea what I'm thinking.
Well, except what I'm expressing to you in the form of a question right now. You know what I'm thinking about that, because I'm asking you, what do you mean sin?
Right.
I know what sin is. Sin is a failure to hit the mark. It's a Greek word, harmatia. It's an archery term, meaning you fail to hit the desired target or the mark. You're off course. Or if you want to say it simply, I don't know anybody would disagree with the idea that sin, what it really means, is disobedience.
Absolutely. And trying to say, I don't know about anybody else.
Well, you know what the Bible says, and so what we have the Word of God. That's the ultimate authority.
Yeah,
it really doesn't matter what Roy's opinion is or your opinion. It just matters what the Word of God says.
I agree with that. But I know where I've been, and I know the wretched sinner that I have been, and I know that I, even though I'm not a spring chicken, I still have to fight my mind daily. I still have to put into practice 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Exactly, bringing every thought unto obedience.
Into captivity, the obedience.
Yeah.
If I don't do that, If I let my guard
no,
down.
No, and I completely, I have complete agreement with you on all these points. I just, when I heard that, it just struck me as odd that somebody would say that a young child is a sinner or born into sin, because they're not capable of sin. I don't even know how you could logically say that an infant that's a day old could be a sinner already. What could they do? They don't even know what's going on. They know they're hungry. They know they need to go to the bathroom. They need to be held and loved.
I agree with those things.
Do you remember the story in the book of Acts? I think it's chapter 17 about the Bereans. It says they received the word with all gladness or eagerness. And they studied the scriptures daily to see if what Paul and Silas was saying was true. And so we have an example of how the Bereans were told they were extremely noble, more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they looked at the Word of God as a source of their information. I like what you said, quoting David, that I was conceived in sin, but I don't know that that's what that means. Or I don't know if there's might be, is that the King James Version or is it a different version? Because I know that there's many versions that reword the to fit man's desires.
I usually read the New King James Version.
I have one of those too that I read every day. I like it too.
Yeah,
of course it doesn't matter. But still, I'm always finding myself, what does this Hebrew word mean, or how is it translated? Because I don't know all of them. I'm like you. Yes, sin is a real big issue. I just don't understand how somebody would say that a child would be a sinner when they're born.
No, I never said that.
Well, you were quoting the psalm.
Yes.
So, quote the psalm again, and let me make sure I heard it correctly. You were referring to David talking about his conception.
He said he was conceived in sin.
Well, what does that mean?
It means that his parents were sinners.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm okay with that. That would be true.
Yeah, that's what I'm
okay,
yeah.
Now that cleared that up.
So, we cleared that up, so all I got to do is clear my kidneys up, huh?
That's right, and you know what? You've got to work on your hands. And I would ask you to press on. You're going to need a lot more information than what I'm giving you, but of course on the radio I can only do so much. But I've given you things to think about and to consider. And so do the best you can, and let's see what your body's able to do.
Yeah, I will keep a closer eye on it, and I assume you're still down there. Your office still down there in Jacksonville. I've been there a time or two, so I can give you a call and come back if things don't improve.
There you go. That sounds like a working plan.
Put
everything to the test.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye. I had a young man the other day approach me in his 20s, and he was promoting an idea. Maybe that's where I kind of got my thought process from, but he was telling me specifically that when a baby is born 1 second old, the baby is completely a well-trained sinner, and I just can't understand that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. How are you?
I got the chlorella that you were talking about.
Yeah,
last week.
Good job.
Okay. And it's a big green pill, 1,000 milligrams.
Wow, you got the big ones, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And most of the studies are using about 5,000 milligrams a day to get the job done.
Okay.
We're taking three.
Yeah. So we'll go to five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you were talking about a powder that was good for your blood pressure, I believe, and you were going to look it up for me?
Oh, the one that's a diuretic? I never looked it up. I'm so sorry.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay.
If I had a laptop, I could go right to, I could look it up real quick, and it was just an herbal remedy, they said, works every bit as good as a thiazide diuretic, but it doesn't have the side effects.
Yeah.
You know how a diuretic, you could use it, but it just causes massive loss of electrolytes. Have you ever heard of potassium before?
Yes, sir. I take it daily.
Okay. Do you eat stuff like salads or avocados or?
No, but I'm fixing to start. I was listening to what you were saying to him, and I misread my my paperwork last week. I thought it said 84%, but I was reading the wrong thing, the wrong line. It was 66%.
Okay, and so I know this is an oversimplification, but if your GFR, glomerular filtration rate on your comprehensive metabolic panel or profile, if that's saying 66, that means there's significant damage to the kidneys.
Yes, sir.
And so we want to help the body repair them and heal them.
Yes, sir.
I love chlorella. Chlorella is an amazing substance. I have an article right here in front of me. Haven't even read it, but they were showing in this one study, that's what they did, was they gave either the participants in the study a placebo, or they gave them 5 grams of chlorella. So that's going to be 5 1,000-milligram capsules or tablets that you're talking about.
Yes, sir. All righty, sir. And I'm going to add to all that what you was telling that man. Barefoot and...
That's it. Yeah, and baking soda?
Yes, sir. I've been taking baking soda 3 times a day.
You've heard of a substance called oxygen, obviously.
Yes, sir.
One... I know, it's almost borderline ridiculous, the questions I ask. But one thing that chlorella has been shown to do, I know this is technical, so I'm going to try to make it untechnical, but they have a unit of measurement when they're testing a human being to find out what is their physical performance, and they call it VO2 max. And so if you were racing in the Olympics for the 1 mile, they would be all about your VO2 max, and what is that number? And how can we improve it? But one study that I came across showed that when people took chlorella every day, it increased their VO2 max by 20%, which means you're getting a lot more of this healing element essential to life called oxygen.
Okay.
And so to me, that is incredible. Increasing a VO2 max by 20% just by taking a substance called chlorella. You know what this translates to? You feel better. As a general rule, what would happen to you and your husband if you were standing at... How tall is Mount Everest, by the way? I don't remember. Is that 27, 29,000 feet? I can't even remember.
28.
He shot the middle. Well, we're going to go with 28,000 feet. Could you imagine what it would be like to try to breathe right now if you were standing, you and Carl, on top of Mount St. Everest?
You couldn't.
I would probably be hallucinating because of low oxygen to my brain. But chlorella increases VO2 max by 20%. And so that's one of the principles with the kidneys, if I can kind of go in a little bit different line of thinking. If you don't get enough oxygen and blood and nutrients through the kidneys, I don't see how they ever heal. And that's why I know I'm being kind of hard on this, but unless you're walking an hour a day, I don't know how you can do that.
Yes, sir. Well, we're going to start doing it.
Oh, that sounds great.
We're doing 30 minutes, but we're going to take it up to an hour.
Oh, that is excellent. Good job.
Yeah, it's a quarter of a mile to the back of the property. And it's a little laney road, and we're going to start doing that every day. Back there.
Can you even see that far?
No, sir. Too many woods.
What happens if there's some wild hogs running across your property when you're back there?
I've got some kind of protection, but anyway.
Is it a slingshot?
No.
Okay.
I'm watching some bucks and does out there eating my corn right now.
Are the bucks, do they have velvet on their antlers right now?
Yep, still do. There's, I think I've seen like 3 legal bucks and 2 that's not.
Can I ask you a question? Are you starting to get hungry right about now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're out of fresh venison.
Oh, man. So you're going to actually, do you hunt with a bow and arrow?
No, sir. No, I'm like the old rancher was. People come down and pay him to hunt with bows, and he had a dog, and he had to go track the deer down with a blood trail and find it. He said if bows were still so good, we would have an Indian for president.
I tell you what, the bow technology they have now is just incredible.
Yeah, I know now.
Could you imagine a Custer at Little Bighorn, if they had compound bows and arrows, it may have turned out differently.
Oh. Yeah, if the Indians would have had crossbows, it would have been a whole lot different.
Oh, man, I'm glad they didn't. No, I'm not trying to take sides. I know there's plenty of abuse with both sides, wasn't there?
Yes, sir.
I think that was one of the problems with Sitting Bull, is they lied to him over and over again about what their promises were that they didn't keep. I feel bad.
It was a mess. One reason the Indian didn't believe in owning the land. They believed in being able to control an area so they could hunt, but they didn't own the land. They didn't know what that meant.
I guarantee you, modern-day people, they know what it means to own land, don't they?
Yes, sir, because they pay taxes.
Oh, my goodness, yes. This is going to be a very interesting year. I was just listening as property taxes skyrocket and income. Did you know that personal income from this time last year to right now has dropped like 9.2%?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
So how do people pay these increasing costs when their income's gone down?
Man, I don't know, because we're on Social Security checks, and it's done past what little raise we got.
You mean the cost of goods and living and everything else that requires money?
Yes, sir.
This lady came to see me a couple weeks ago, and she was telling me she was going to have a little picnic, and she said, I bought just two small bags of groceries so we could have something to eat it for our picnic at the lake. It cost $60.
Yes,
and I thought
sir.
To myself, if this was like 2 years ago, that probably would have cost $20.
Yeah, I just marked my calendar, Dr. Morgan, and right here where we're at, we got about 20 drops of rain about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We're on day 48.
This is a drought, isn't it?
It is very bad.
Do they have a burn ban in effect for Anderson County?
Yes, sir, they do have. And we've had three fires, one pretty good forest fire and a couple of small ones within a mile of us already.
I saw on my phone this morning the complete utter destruction of the island of Maui from the fires.
That's bad. Over 50 people or 70 or something has died from
it. I think my phone said 80 this morning. Now, I'm not saying that I'm up to date, but they're just saying that's a new total, and I'm going, oh dear, that's horrible.
It's horrible, yes.
Boy, I tell you what's horrible is spending eternity apart from God. Now, that would be horrible.
Yes, sir, man. If y'all hadn't have figured out that question, I was going to call you.
Well, I haven't figured it out exactly yet, and let me tell you why. Because I didn't have a complete memory to all the passages I'm thinking of. I know there's one in Deuteronomy that talks about children being innocent. They're not held accountable. They're just too young to know right from wrong. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, so I heard a real good thing about that. When a little baby is born, okay, that's kind of like we are when we become spiritually born. We're just
when we have our spiritual rebirth,
yes,
we're born again. Yeah,
without sin right then. Well, the little baby is until they get old enough to know better. But you're right, and he's right, that Jesse and David's mother, when they mm-hmm. conceived him, they were sinners.
Yes, exactly.
What's so hard about that?
Well, I don't think there's anything hard about it, but I think that there's this philosophy, like the young man was telling me the other day. He believes in a thing called original sin, which means Adam and Eve's sin is placed upon us. Therefore, we're sinners because of what Adam and Eve. And you and I would probably agree that when Eve disobeyed God, when Adam disobeyed God, yes, that was sin, correct?
Yes, sir.
But we're not responsible. If you go to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, which is a very interesting book, it tells us very clearly in chapter 18 that the son is not responsible for the sin of his father. And the father, have you ever heard of somebody having a child that misbehaved and did bad, sinful things?
Yeah,
well, that's not your fault that your son sinned when he was an adult, is it?
No, sir. If Adam and Eve's sin was dropped down on us and our fault, we wouldn't have a chance.
Well, I haven't really thought that through. I'm going to think about that. I haven't really processed it. All I'm saying is we are each held accountable for our own sins. Like if I'm standing before the Lord, I can't say Carl's really the one responsible. Carl made me do it. That won't be a valid response to explain myself, will it?
Exactly true.
Actually, I think there'll be no response at all. It'll be like Job. He'll say, "Oh, I wish I had never asked a question." It's,
yeah.
You know, the sad thing is, you know, even God did not have to create Roy at all, did he?
No, sir.
He didn't have to make Carl. He didn't have to make Cheryl. He didn't have to create any of us. Completely convinced, because of his purity and his holiness, that he would have been well within his rights to judge us, even if he had never desired to give us his holy word. So we know one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to reveal God to us. And so we have his word, and so he's telling us everything that pleases him.
Yes, sir. That's why he said go out in every part of the earth and make
disciples. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Good point.
Well, I don't want to keep anybody else's.
Oh, well, thank you very much for your phone call.
That's why we read the word daily, to get that word into our hearts, so that when we do sin, the Lord will quicken us and say, "Don't do that, Cheryl. You know, walk in my ways." I love the word, and I love getting up every morning and getting into it. It just makes me feel so good in my heart to have that word within me.
Amen.
Jesus is the word.
That's what it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God and was with God. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
Does it take you much effort to study the word of God so you can retain it in your heart?
No, because I enjoy it. I look forward to it.
Well, I would say the same thing, except for me, I have to read it over and over to get it. I don't know if I'm slower at learning than what the average person is, but I think you got to put forth work and effort to have it, don't you?
I couldn't make it without my Strong's Concordance, because
is that the one that you use every day?
Yes.
What do
yes.
you do with your Strong's Concordance?
Well, if I don't understand a word that I'm reading, I will look it up and look that number up and get the true meaning of the Hebrew or the Greek word.
Oh, I like that. What's the last word that you looked up because you wanted to try to figure out what does that word mean?
I believe it was sleep. because, no, I'm serious.
No, I just thought that was funny because I never saw that coming.
You know, sleep in the dust. Sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, so many different things in the Bible. I know to us it sounds simple. Oh, yeah, I know what that means. But it's different when you look it up in the Strong's.
Well, you know what? It would not be good for somebody to say you're spiritually asleep.
That's right.
That would not be a good state of mind. I would rather you be fully awake and participating.
Yes, that's true.
Or alive, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for sharing that with me. That's very kind of you. I always appreciate y'all's phone call.
All right, Dr. Morgan, we appreciate
you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for including the word in your program. It's so good.
Well, thank you for saying that. That you made my day.
All right.
Let's keep together encouraging each other to keep moving forward.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. In case you want to call, ask a question. If not, I have this article that I've been looking at about chlorella that I find very interesting, but we're getting a phone call, so let's do that. That's more important. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I'm breathing hard because I'm in pain.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Where are you hurting?
My abdomen. I have severe IBS.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. Boy, I have a hard time focusing here.
Sometimes it catches a person off guard if I answer the phone too fast, so it's okay.
No.
You're fine. It's really just me and you talking. There's no pressure at all, but my main concern is you're in pain right now, and I want to help you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Anyway, the only time I get any relief is when I lay flat on my back,
mm-hmm.
and I've had severe swelling. And,
oh, my goodness. Do you, yeah, do you feel like you're, like, bloated and swollen?
Oh, it's terrible, Dr. Morgan. It's like I have a basketball in my belly.
Have you come across anything at all that has really significantly helped you up to this point?
Well, I pick a probiotic. I started that, and that helped a lot. And then
good.
I had incomplete digestion, so I added
an enzyme.
A supplement. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to complete your thought, but I knew what you meant.
I'm glad. I know. You like my brother. You can't hurt my feelings.
I don't want to.
I know that. And I'm so grateful to God that I got through and praying.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
So a probiotic has helped and an enzyme has helped. Good.
Yes, because it took care of 2 days, took care of the digestion problem. But then I added a stuff called Cotrirol. It's supposed to heal the gaps or something or the holes mm-hmm. in the cells.
Yeah.
And then that lets the body restore the bacteria because it feels like even walk, even when I move, if my intestines move, excuse me, it hurts.
Do you think there's any relationship between what you're eating right now, or do you think there's another factor like stress or something like that?
Well, I've thought about all those things, and I don't eat anything processed. I listen to you every Saturday.
Okay.
No sugar. I don't eat anything that's bad for me.
Man, and you are one disciplined woman.
Well, I've learned so much from you over the last 20 years. And I don't have any particular stress. Nothing less.
Okay, good. I'm very thankful for that.
Me too. And I'm very close to the Lord and ask Him to put on anything in me that offends Him. So I'm like, is this like a reason I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing or thinking something I shouldn't
Man,
be thinking?
I just think that is a brilliant statement. I don't know that I've heard many people say that before. Could you repeat again what you just said? Because I like that.
Yes, it's in the Psalms, one of David's Psalms.
See if there's any wicked way in me or something like that?
It point on anything in me that offends you.
Oh, man, good job.
In the Living Translation.
That's a pretty serious statement to say.
Oh, yeah, but I want to know.
Yes, amen.
Yes, but he's not pointing on anything to me. And the thing is, I can't see any reason for this.
Do you mind telling me what you might eat for breakfast, for example?
Yogurt.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm gonna just going to jump over and I'm going to give you something that's going to sound really, really crazy.
That's okay.
All right, good. Because that's kind of partially how I'm wired anyway.
I know.
Wait! Yeah, there's no secrets here. Everybody knows. After a while, you start figuring out how you think. Okay. I had a lady come to see me with very, very severe abdominal issues, but she also had an autoimmune disease called rheumatoid arthritis.
I have it.
Okay. See, we're on the same wavelength already.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't just happen, does it?
No.
So I'm going to say thank you very much, Lord. You're so good and you're so kind and merciful. So what I recommended... And, you know, I can make recommendations all day long, and I'm just giving you an idea because I want your pain to come to an end. But I also want you to get mastery. So one thing that you could do, and this is going to sound radical, is for the next 3 days you could do what I would call a carnivore diet.
Mm.
And I know that's radical, but if I had my way, you would just eat steak and nothing else.
Okay.
And tell me, if this is absolutely the very, very best that your tummy has felt and you've gotten the most relief from doing this, because what we're going to find out, most likely you have what I'm going to call an allergy or intolerance to dairy.
Oh, yeah. I can't drink milk or anything. I have lactose intolerance, yes.
Well, lactose intolerance and a dairy allergy, those can be slightly different things with different consequences. But like, for example, the yogurt...
Mm-hmm.
If that was goat yogurt, I would say okay. But is it mm-hmm. yogurt that comes from a cow?
I don't know. It's a Wawa brand. I don't know.
I mean, I drove by a pasture the other day, and the cows were all gathered around the salt block talking, and I think they were talking about making yogurt later that day, I think. Have you ever been tempted to lick a salt block in a pasture?
Well, actually, I have. I want to see how that deer and horses like this. You asked me.
Well, did you actually follow through on it?
Yeah,
okay.
I did, because I wondered what attracted them, because I see the deer and stuff.
Well, was it pretty salty?
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. That mineral.
Yeah, that's the idea of my childhood. You'd have, like, a homemade popcorn in a skillet with butter on it,
mm-hmm,
and salt. Sounds like a good combo. But if you tried just eating steak only today, tomorrow you may wake up and be in the very best shape of your life.
Well, that'd be fabulous. I do have some, I did get some beef tonight.
Some what?
I did get some beef. Like, it's called cube, usually it's called cube steak.
Okay, there you go.
And last time I had it, it tasted good.
Yeah.
But then I'm scared to eat anything because it hurts so bad when it goes down.
Well, can I tell you the three or four other things that I had in the back of my mind?
Sure.
All right, there was a study done years ago on women that had very, very severe IBS, irritable bowel, mm-hmm, syndrome. I don't, mm-hmm, think I have to explain that to you and how horrific it is.
I know.
But in this study, they tried giving women what were called coconut macaroons. A macaroon is like a coconut cookie, I guess.
Okay.
If you went to, and of course, I'm just thinking in my mind, there's a store. Do you know where Tyler is?
Yes, I'm about 25 miles away.
Okay, well, I was just going to give the example of going to Drug Emporium. On the shelf, they have these round cans in the cookie aisle called Jenny's Coconut Macaroons.
Okay.
And I think they just have three ingredients. It's just shredded coconut. It may have, uh-huh, sugar in it, but it has eggs, and that's it. But in this one study, coconut macaroons, they greatly diminished the horrific pain of IBS.
Wow.
The other thing that I would do, there might be two or three, there's a substance called enterically coated peppermint. And I think I have like, four or five planter, I started to call them boxes. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
It's like a vase that you put dirt in, pots.
Yes.
Sometimes it's simple words. But anyway, there's peppermint growing. So enterically coated peppermint, that may be a substance that greatly reduces your pain almost instantaneously, meaning within 20 minutes. So you could try that.
Where would I get that?
You'd probably look at a health food store. It's called enterically coated. That just means, mm-hmm, it's peppermint oil that's in a gel cap.
Okay.
So you swallow it, it opens up in your stomach, and bingo, relieves your pain. So that's an idea.
Wow.
The other thing that I've always used, I've used what's called chlorophyll.
Is that in a capsule form?
It is, yes, ma'am. And so that and aloe vera capsules, I would never even be able to do justice if I start talking about aloe vera. I can't even tell you how amazing the stuff is. But aloe vera, if I had horrific pain right now, I would get, mm-hmm, me a jug of aloe vera and I'd be sipping it every 15 minutes throughout the day. I'm willing to bet that within 3 hours, you're going to call me on the phone and say, Dr. Morgan, you were actually right this time. I feel pretty good.
Liquid forms?
Yes, ma'am, exactly. You can get the aloe vera gel. You can get it in the liquid form where you could just drink it. Or you could go to your neighbor's cactus farm and just cut some leaves and make it yourself. You do live next to a cactus farm, don't you?
Well, I have cactus at my farm.
There you go.
But they have the prickly kind.
Well, I'm talking about the aloe vera. They're a little sharp, but they're not. They don't have those sharp needles or spines on them, do they?
No. They're beautiful, too.
Yeah, I think they are. And they're one of the best plants to keep in the house to filter and purify your air. They're awesome that way.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Or you can get it in capsule form. But if you start doing those things I'm telling you and cut out everything else except the meat, just tell, mm-hmm, me in 3 days you're a new woman.
Oh, I would come over there and interrupt your session with your patients and give you a big old hug.
Now, ma'am, you don't have to threaten me, is it? No, that's good. I want you to do really, really, really well.
Yeah, well, I'll try to get those today.
Yeah, good.
I can stand the pain.
Do you live closer to Longview?
No, I live like halfway between Ben Wheeler and Tyler.
Okay, so Tyler's probably going to be much easier for you just to come to the east to Tyler. Unfortunately, we're all out of time, but I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. I'm glad you got in.
God bless you. Me too.
Oh, thank you so much. May the Lord look upon you with great favor.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.